Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Hunted by Lisa Harris. Narrated by Kyle Tate. Day 296. Chapter 1. October 10th. Pull the string back a little further. Aim, then release the arrow as if your life depended on it. Ava Solomon squared her hips, gripping the bow with her left hand, like Levi McQuaid had told her, then pulled slowly back on the string, keeping her eyes on the orange pumpkin target. A warm breeze swept across her face as she breathed in the scent of smoke from the cooking fires tinging the desert winds. She'd always loved this region, framed by mountains in the distance. Shadow Ridge was just one of a dozen small, isolated towns spread out across West Texas, where wide open desert prairies filled with scrub brush and cactus met winding mountain roads and led to higher elevations. Rugged, untamed landscapes filled with backcountry wildlife, where the stars hung like lanterns at night, almost close enough to touch. For the past decade, though, Shadow Ridge had simply become a place for her to visit. It held memories, but it had never been where she intended to settle down for the rest of her life. Until the quake. The instant the grid went down, everything in her world changed. No power grid meant no electricity, no internet, no streaming movies, no way to schedule an Uber or send a text message. It meant she couldn't hop on an airplane and fly back to her life in Houston, where she worked as a cryptanalyst by day and an aspiring author at night. While she might have inherited her love of language from her Nigerian father and her love of books from her Irish mother, she'd never embraced their love of hunting and outdoor adventure. That was her sister, Josie. Instead, she'd grown up in a world where books were her escape. When her father had managed to convince her to go hiking with him, he'd tell her stories of growing up in the African bush and share his wealth of knowledge of West Texas flora and fauna, the place that had become his home after 30 years of managing one of the local ranches. Her mother had taught her how to make Irish stew and soda bread and encouraged her in her writing endeavors. Now she wished she'd listened more, because suddenly, it was her responsibility to raise her 17-year-old sister and keep food on the table for the two of them. In an effort to help them make it through the winter, she'd learned everything she could about raising chickens and rabbits, water glassing fresh eggs, and growing a garden beneath the hot West Texas sun. They washed clothes in the round pink swimming pool and had perfected her father's rainwater catchment system for harvesting water. Ava blew out a sharp breath, her mind spinning, as she shifted her thoughts back to what Levi had taught her. Stance, posture, position. The tension inside her built as she stared at the target, the muscles in her arm and shoulder tight. Bring your hand slowly to your neck. Levi stepped up next to her, lowering her elbow slightly. Relax. You're doing fine, Ava. She blew out another sharp breath as Levi's earlier words replayed in her mind. Release the arrow as if your life depended on it. She swallowed hard. She wasn't doing fine, because he was right. Her life and the life of her sister depended on her. She might baby her garden and try to make friends with the hens who gave them eggs. But while speaking four languages sounded impressive to some, it hadn't prepared her for living off the grid. She pulled the arrow back another half inch, then released it. The arrow launched at an angle, missing the target by a yard. She dropped the bow to her side, trying to hold back the tears.
I can't do this, Levi.
Yes, you can. He handed her another arrow. You just need to relax. Funny, she hadn't relaxed for months. She'd lost count of how many days had passed since the grid had gone down. The quake as everyone in Shadow Ridge had come to call it. She used to keep her schedule meticulously organized in her head, but now the days and weeks had merged together into a time warp, blurring her memories until she couldn't remember what she'd had for breakfast most days. It wasn't just the fact that she couldn't hunt or that her garden wasn't thriving as she'd hoped. Raising a teenager was proven difficult. Josie had always been stubborn, but the past year had changed her. She'd become more and more argumentative, and while she did what Ava asked her to do, most of the time, she'd made it clear that she had no desire to take orders from her older sister. Ava, Levi touched her arm. I think you're trying too hard. She squeezed back the tears, her lips quivering.
Trying too hard and failing isn't going to put dinner on my table. Maybe I just need to stick to chickens and rabbits. I can't do this.
Levi set the bow on the picnic table, then took her hand and led her over to the wooden swing her father had built at the back of the house. What's really going on? Something tells me this isn't just about your inability to shoot a pumpkin. The ridiculous sounding sentence brought an unsolicited smile to her lips.
Have you not noticed how bad I am?
She nodded toward the arrows scattered across the backyard, none of which had made it even close to the target. He squeezed her fingers. That wasn't an answer to my question. Simmering anger rose to the surface.
If I can't shoot a pumpkin, how am I supposed to shoot an animal that's running? It's this whole mess.
She waved her arms.
This can't continue forever. I need something normal. Anything. A scoop of Bluebell ice cream. A hot soak in the tub. Pumpkin spice coffee.
She sighed.
Boy, I could really use some pumpkin spice coffee right now.
He sat quietly beside her, letting her pour out the pent-up frustration. Patient, with no judgment in his eyes. Just like he'd always done.
I just can't do this anymore.
She lowered her voice in defeat.
My mother is dead, and I have no idea how to help my sister. You've spent your whole life learning how to shoot, learning how to track, learning how to hunt. I've spent my life with my nose in a book. I don't know how to do this. That's why things have to go back to normal. I refuse to think otherwise, because this isn't the life I want.
The childish string of words came out before she could filter them. I get it. More than you think, he said, squeezing her hand.
I know.
She looked up at him, wishing she could take the words back.
I'm sorry. I know none of us want this life.
You have nothing to be sorry about. But think about it this way. What if you hadn't been here when all this happened? Your sister needs you, and you were able to be with your mother before she died. I think you're exactly where you need to be. Ava pressed her lips together. Her shoulders slumped as fatigue mingled with the feelings of heavy loss.
I don't know.
You wouldn't have gotten that extra time to spend with your mother. Your sister would be here by herself. Your being here matters. You've made a difference to your family, to this town, to me.
You always know what to say.
She shook her head and leaned back against the swing, his hand still clasping hers. It was true. Levi McQuaid had always been there for her, listening and never judging.
I know I'm overreacting, but Josie has started sneaking out of the house at night, which isn't like her. I'm pretty sure she's gotten involved with the wrong kids, and I don't know how to stop it.
So your frustration really is more than a failure to hit a pumpkin with an arrow. She leaned into his shoulder.
All those years I spent on the ranch, you and your brothers and sisters were the ones hunting and fishing and horseback riding. But not me. When I wasn't in school, I was reading. but that isn't going to help me raise a teenager or learn how to hunt my dinner.
They had been friends ever since they were freshmen in high school. Her mother had always asked her why they hadn't dated, but she'd never really thought about romance when it came to Levi. They'd just been close friends. He'd dated Chrissy Reed, and she'd spent most Friday nights at the library. But despite Chrissy's jealousy over their closeness, they'd remained friends. They'd also stayed in touch after graduation, despite going to different universities, thanks to social media and her infrequent trips back to Shadow Ridge, including after the death of her father 3 years ago. Levi McQuaid had grown up in Shadow Ridge, and like her, had been home for the holidays when the quake hit, along with three of his four siblings. Almost a year later, though, nothing was the same. Levi and his older brother Jace had stepped up as the law in town after their father was shot in a manhunt for a fugitive. Their sister Hope had taken over running the only clinic in 75 miles, while Tess, their youngest sister, spent time helping at the clinic, as well as with her father's rehabilitation. If she was honest, though, Josie's struggles weren't the only situation she was concerned about. There had been a number of break-ins over the past few weeks. The community warehouse that stored grain and food was robbed, and one of the guards killed. The raids were eventually tied to a gang called the Buffalo Riders. But there were plenty of people out there wanting to take advantage of a vulnerable situation. With very little communication possible with the outside world, because of the town's isolated location and the rise of bandits on the road, Jace, who was former military intelligence, had brought on several more part-time officers to join Levi and work under Jace. But while they were all doing the best they could, most of the time it wasn't enough.
"What are you thinking?" he asked. "I'm scared, because I feel like I'm losing her."
Ava slowly exhaled, trying to gather her jumbled thoughts.
"She's lost a lot, Ava. You can't forget that." "I haven't, but it's no excuse to behave like she is. I need her."
"I could ask Tess to reach out to her. She's not much older."
"That's not a bad idea."
Ava looked up and studied Levi's familiar crew cut and clean-shaven face. He was tough enough to make it through the rigorous physical and mental challenges of the police academy. And yet there was another side of him. Funny, gentle, even vulnerable at times. The kind of man she could always count on. Like today.
"How is Tess?" she asked.
"It's hard to tell. She's quiet, and I always worry about what's going on under the surface. But I've seen her change, in a good way, as she takes on more responsibility. Still, like Josie, it's hard." Ava wiped her cheeks, done with feeling sorry for herself.
"These kids need a purpose, to feel needed. And I mean beyond cleaning out chicken coops and weeding the garden. I thought what we were doing was working. But now..."
Ava stood and picked the bow and arrow back up. Feeling sorry for herself was never a good idea.
"I can keep practicing, but you need to go. You've spent way too much time with me today. Though I did think of something positive about today's lesson."
Levi stood, then set his hands on his hips. "And what would that be?"
"We're going to get a pumpkin pie out of this."
He tilted his head.
"And you're going to make it? Why am I detecting doubt in your voice?"
"That wasn't doubt. It was..." Levi scratched his chin, apparently searching for a word to describe her less than adequate cooking skills.
"What?"
she prodded. He stepped in front of her and smiled. "I just know that while you are extremely talented, smart, and resourceful..."
"Good save. But my cooking skills are improving. You should have tried my fried chicken this week. It was only a little burnt."
Ava pushed back her shoulders as she spun around to face the target. Stance, posture, position. She let the arrow fly and hit the pumpkin dead center.
See? Levi said. I knew you could do it.
Ava heard a clatter of hooves and turned around as Gideon Savage rode up behind the house.
Is everything okay? Levi asked.
No, it isn't.
Gideon hesitated.
Jace asked me to come get you. Diego Chavez found a body on his property.
Chapter 2 Levi felt the familiar shards of anxiety cut through him at Gideon's request. A dead body wasn't exactly how he wanted to start his week. This town had already gone through so much. He turned back to Ava.
Will you be okay?
Of course. Just, please, please be careful.
Levi grabbed his backpack off the picnic table, then mounted his horse, which had been grazing at the side of the house. He knew where her words of caution had come from. Too recently, they'd found two dead bodies, both killed by the Buffalo Riders, a group of men who spent their time robbing goods from isolated towns, then selling those goods on the black market. Without vehicles, communications, and no way to run any kind of forensic test, tracking them down had proved to be challenging. But they all knew that even with this gang of criminals finally arrested, there would be others to take their place.
Have they ID'd the body?
Levi asked as he headed toward the police station next to Gideon on Cactus, his golden Palomino.
Far as I know, they haven't. All I know is that Mr. Chavez is pretty upset. He's had a lot of trespassers on his property, and to find one of them dead.
I don't blame him. This is very upsetting.
When Jace had decided to give Gideon a chance and bring him on for a trial period to help out at the station, Levi hadn't been sure it was a good idea. Over the past few weeks, though, the young man had impressed both of them with his work ethic and willingness to do whatever was necessary. Levi glanced back at Ava's house before turning on to Main Street, wishing he'd handled things better. Despite her smile as he left, he knew she was hurting and that he'd probably pushed her too hard. His motives might have been on track, but nothing he'd said had been able to erase the fear and grief in her eyes. He couldn't blame her. She was handling so much, and all he wanted to do was help. He'd gone to the police academy because he wanted to make a difference in his community. But now so many things simply couldn't be fixed. He'd learned that the hard way. Last month, one of their town leaders was murdered, and a 6-year-old boy taken hostage. No matter how hard he'd tried, he hadn't been able to stop it. And now, they could be looking at another murder. Levi pulled back on the reins as they approached the police station. He rubbed Cactus's neck as the horse came to a stop, feeling, not for the first time, that he'd walked back in time into the Wild West. Even without access to modern forensics and DNA testing, they'd managed to track down the men involved in the murders. But in a world where everything had spun out of control, it seemed that more often than not, the bad guys had the advantage.
Your brother's inside,
Gideon said as they tied their horses to a post. Levi nodded, then walked into the police station behind the boy.
Give me a second, Levi said.
He walked to the framed pictures hanging on the far wall, his gaze pausing briefly on the black and white photo of his father and Chase. Before the quake, Garrett McQuaid and Chase Beckett had been the law in Shadow Ridge, on call 24/7, with most of the town having his father's personal cell number. His father might have been born in the wrong century, preferring old-fashioned police work to modern technology. Levi had always believed his father was invincible, but a bullet to the chest changed everything. Levi centered the uneven frame and frowned. Chase had been escorting a prisoner to San Angelo when the quake hit, and his father, who was the town's police chief at the time, was shot during the hunt for a fugitive. The wound had left him both physically and emotionally wounded. In the days that followed, Levi and his siblings were forced to grieve over the death of their mother, as well as the knowledge that they didn't know where Chase or their brother Sam was. But their story was no different than any other person's in this town. Levi shook off the combination of grief and frustration, knowing he couldn't afford the distraction. They had a job to do, with a town dependent on them. Jace had been voted in by the community early on to help keep law and order, and with Levi's experience at the police academy, he'd been voted in as well. But even with the men they'd brought on as part-time deputies, keeping order in the town was anything but easy. Some days it felt as if they'd stepped into an episode of The Twilight Zone, because they were living in a world where they didn't know the rules anymore. Diego Chavez was standing in Jace's office, his hat in his hand, and a scowl on his weathered face, while Jace sat behind his desk, tapping a pen against a pad of paper. "Diego," Levi said, shaking the man's hand. "It's been a while."
"It has, but unfortunately this is no social call. I was just telling your brother about the issues I'm having on my land. I've been getting more and more trespassers. They kill my cattle, take the meat they want, then leave the carcasses to rot in the sun. They've killed at least 10 over the past couple of months."
Diego had mentioned the trouble he was having the last time he was in town, but limited personnel made it impossible for the already stretched police department to cover so much territory. "Have you seen any of them well enough to recognize them?" Jace asked. Diego shook his head.
"No. They go through at night, staying toward the edges of the property. But I'm tired of dealing with their mess."
He dropped his hat onto the desk.
"And the loss of cattle seems minor at this point. Not only is one of my men missing, now they've gone and murdered a girl and dumped her on my land."
"Gideon said you weren't able to ID her?" Levi asked.
"Nope, never seen her. But that doesn't mean she isn't from around here. All I know is that this has got to stop."
"And your missing man?"
"I've had to start sending my men out on security sweeps. Normally they go in pairs, but with resources stretched, Zach went out on his own to check on the West End. He didn't report back in last night. We found the girl when we were searching for him."
Jace leaned back in his chair, a deep frown on his face, then looked up at Levi. Matt and Grayson headed out to check out a disturbance, but Frank and Gideon are still here. "Why don't you go with me up to Chavez's property?"
"Of course. Should we take Tess with us?" Levi asked. "Her sketches helped us with Jeremiah's murder."
"I'm not sure that would be wise. She was pretty upset when we asked her to come in. It might be another layer of trauma she doesn't need." Jace started tapping his pen again, weighing their options.
"What do you think?"
"I think she's a lot stronger than we give her credit for," Levi said, praying he was right.
"I could go get her, if you'd like," Gideon said. "Escort her to the property."
Jace nodded. "Give her the option, but it's completely up to her. If she says no, we leave it at that. Keep in contact with us either way." Gideon pulled his radio out of his pocket.
"My radio's charged, though it's been glitching lately."
Levi frowned. Of course it was. They all were. He understood his brother's hesitation about involving Tess. He had his own reservations. But they needed every resource they could get. They had solar-powered chargers so they could use their cell phones for pictures and their radios for communication. But it took hours to charge them, and they only worked in direct sunlight. On top of that, they had a limited number of charging cycles, which meant eventually, if the power didn't come back on, they would stop working, and they'd lose both the evidence they had on their phones as well as a means to communicate. Having Tess's sketches was essential in his mind. The Chavez Ranch was located 5 miles outside of Shadow Ridge on a wide spot of open space. Before the quake, The property had held a lodge offering hunting parties of everything from elk to turkeys to javelinas, with stunning scenery making it a one-of-a-kind experience. Today, there were no tourists looking to bring home a trophy. Instead, the owners and ranch hands who worked the 15,000-acre property worked day and night to keep their cattle alive, with the help of solar-powered water wells and stock tanks. But keeping poachers out in order to ensure the land wasn't overhunted had become a full-time job. Levi and his brother stayed a couple lengths behind Diego and his men as they rode down the edge of the property through grassy slopes, senses alert to their surroundings for anything that seemed off.
"You've been quieter than usual," Jace said.
"Sorry. I've just got a lot on my mind, I guess. The last time we had a dead body, we ended up with a second murder and a hostage situation. I'm worried about what we're going to find."
And how they were going to figure out the truth. He'd spent 36 weeks at the police academy, learning everything from tactical driving to patrol procedures to officer safety and emergency communications. But he had no real investigative experience, which meant he'd been faced with on-the-job training. That wasn't the only barrier standing in his way. They had no access to criminal databases like DNA and fingerprints, no facial recognition software or biometric science. The quake had suddenly thrust them back a century before much of forensic science had existed.
"You're working too much," Jace said. "If you ask me, it doesn't seem to be enough. Even with bringing more men on to help, it's getting harder to keep up with the town's needs."
"I agree, but I'm discovering that finding a balance in life is as necessary as making sure there's food on the table. So I'm guessing love would be one of those priorities."
Jace tugged on the brim of his cowboy hat, but Levi didn't miss the smile that crossed his brother's face.
"Changing the subject? Seems right in line to me," Levi laughed. "You did bring Morgan and her son to the family dinner on Sunday. That's a pretty big step forward in the McQuaid family."
"How did this conversation suddenly become about me and my love life?"
"So you are in love. How is she?"
"Last time I saw her, she was fine."
"Which was?" Levi prodded.
"Last night."
"So when are you going to propose?"
"Who said I'm proposing?"
Jace flicked a fly away, but Levi was pretty sure the insect wasn't the only thing pestering him. He sat back in his saddle, enjoying the opportunity to make his brother squirm a bit. Levi grinned.
"I overheard you talking to Dad about Mom's ring."
"I guess it's still impossible to keep a secret from the rest of the McQuaids."
Jace tilted his head to block the sun.
"Would you mind? About proposing to Morgan or giving her Mom's ring?"
"Either one. Both. I don't want to step on any toes."
"You've got my blessing, and I'm sure the rest of them will give theirs as well. But is that all that's bothering you?"
"I don't know."
Jace stared out across the grassland surrounding him.
"It doesn't seem right for me to be thinking about getting married when the town is simply trying to survive."
"I don't know if that's true. Life might have changed, but you're right about needing balance. A sense of normality, like weddings, get-togethers, and Christmas. The town needs all of that."
"Maybe."
Levi tried to read his brother's expression.
"If I were you, I'd be thinking sooner rather than later. I mean, if you think about it, there doesn't seem to be a reason to wait."
"I don't know. What I do know is how different things have turned out. A year ago, I was leaving one career, searching for something, anything, that didn't have to do with law enforcement. And today? Today, you and I are the law in Shadow Ridge, and I'm thinking about proposing to Morgan."
"Which shows that some good has come out of all this mess."
"Morgan and Noah are definitely something good."
Jace glanced at Levi.
"What about you? Maybe you need to take your own advice and settle down."
Sample complete. Ready to continue?